I'm now joined with Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst for Social Justice Ireland, to talk about how one-fifth of Europe's children are now living in poverty. Good afternoon, Michelle. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Johnny.
Michelle, almost 15.8 million children in the EU are living in poverty, which represents one-fifth of Europe's child population. Now, that's quite a high number. It's 20%. What are the main causes behind all of this, in your view?
Yeah, it is a very high number, Johnny, and it is a real cause for concern. I suppose one of the main causes of this has been that Europe itself has never really fully recovered from the financial crisis in terms of, I suppose, the social infrastructure that would have been damaged around that time. And I suppose cuts made certainly to income supports and some public services and infrastructure, and they haven't been restored. So what you see then, obviously, is that if you don't support families on lower incomes and the lower end of the income spectrum in terms of services, income, and if their parents can't access, you know, employment that's paid at a reasonable rate, these families find themselves living in poverty, and the children in these families find themselves living in poverty. And the problem is, if you spend part of your childhood in a household which is struggling to make ends meet or living below the poverty line, then you're more likely as an adult to be living in a precarious situation. So you're less likely to be employed. If you are employed, you're going to be earning less than your peers. You're less likely to have a high level of education. You're more likely to be in a more precarious housing situation, for example. Your health outcomes are poorer. So the results are concerning because of the impact that they have, not just on the child, but that these impacts follow them throughout their life. So, and you know, the causes are really a failure, to reinvigorate and reinforce the social aspects of Europe. And that's, by that I mean things like social welfare, like social infrastructure, public services. That, you know, we have a lot of focus on macroeconomic terms, macroeconomic procedures, debt, fiscal sustainability, but at the same time you don't have the same focus on social issues such as poverty, child poverty, financial distress, and those kind of things. And if you lack that focus, if we don't focus on social imbalances, then you end up, you know, with these kind of figures where you have a fifth of the children living in the EU who are living in poverty.
Okay, thanks for that. So these figures are the result of Social Justice Ireland's recent European research series. It's entitled to Europe After COVID Reversal or Renewal. Tell us more about this, how it works.
Yes, so this is the 14th publication in our series, and what we do is we look at all of the EU member states and we analyse their performance in key areas, so things like poverty and inequality, for example, employment, unemployment, access to educational outcomes, access to healthcare, areas such as taxation. And we look at how these countries are doing on these related issues. And then I suppose with a particular focus on social issues and social policy issues and how countries across the EU are doing on some of the social targets that the EU sets itself in terms of employment, reducing poverty and educational outcomes.
And the findings of this particular research we're talking about, it relates to the year 2021, not this year.
Yes, because we are relying on the data from Eurostat, the European Statistics Agency, and generally there's always a time lag in data like this because each of the member states submits their data at different times of the year. So generally, particularly on social indicators and social data, you're generally a year behind because you want to wait until you have the data available from every member state. So yes, the data itself relates to 2021, which in itself isn't ideal because we know the current situation, rising prices are going to have a disproportionately negative impact on low-income households. So you could see changes in these figures in the years to come.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I mentioned it, because it does make sense that most research findings are a year behind. It's always like that. But just for listeners to bear in mind that these figures are before the crisis in Ukraine and what we are all going through at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, tell us about the key findings of the research in terms of children at risk of poverty or living in poverty right across Europe.
Yes, so as you mentioned, Johnny, the rate is nearly 20%, so it's 19.5%, so 15.8 million children, so a fifth of them. Obviously, there's huge variations in terms of the rates across different countries. So the rates were highest in Romania at 30%, Bulgaria 28%, then Spain, Italy and Luxembourg at 27%, 25% and 21% respectively. So that might be surprising to some people, particularly Luxembourg, which you wouldn't think might have such a high rate of child poverty. The lowest rates were in Hungary, Denmark and Slovenia, so in and around 9% or 10%. I suppose of concern to us particularly is that if you look at the period over 2019, 2020, 2021, the period of the pandemic, the greatest disimprovements in terms of poverty risk for children occurred in Germany, Austria and Ireland. So that is concerning, particularly in an Irish context, because we do know that the pandemic unemployment payment and the wage subsidy scheme, if they hadn't been there, the rate of poverty amongst the general population would have been much higher. But even with those supports, the risk of poverty among children grew. So that's concerning for us. And then another concerning finding for the whole of the EU is that nearly 7 million children are experiencing severe material deprivation. That means that they live in families that are going without a number of items on a daily basis. And as you said, Johnny, this is before the impact of the current increases in the cost of living. So these are families that are going without heating the home regularly because they can't afford it. The children don't have appropriate clothes for the time of year. You don't have access to the type of nutritious food one would expect and children are supposed to have on a daily basis. Your accommodation isn't what it should be. These children also, they don't have access to the devices that one might need. Now, in terms of primary and secondary school these days, most children need access. They need to be able to do some work online. So it's not a phone. They need access to a laptop of some sort of device to enable them to do that work. And they don't have access to those kind of devices either. And that's really concerning that you've nearly 7 million children in that situation. So they're experiencing a severe lack of resources.
And what are your views, Michelle, on how living in poverty affects children in terms of their mental health, their outlook on life and their future?
Well, I suppose what we do know and what all the evidence shows is that it follows them. That's the real problem. It follows them throughout their life. And that's really concerning. So, as I said, they're less likely to be employed. They'll have more likely to have lower levels of educational qualifications. You'll earn less throughout your lifetime. Even if you do manage to go and achieve the same level of education as your peer who didn't experience poverty in childhood, you will still earn less throughout your lifetime. Your health outcomes are poorer. Your mental health outcomes are poorer. Your housing situation is more likely to be precarious. Your life expectancy is generally, it will be shorter. And the myriad of all these effects and these impacts, they're hugely costly to the individual, to that child as they become an adult, but also to the state, because the state has to compensate then for the cost of poverty as well. And we know that one of the findings of the report, if you looked across the EU and looked at adults who are at present, who are living in poverty or experiencing financial distress, or they can't make ends meet, they grew up in a household in the same situation. So you see how it transmits across generations. And that's why, it's really, really important, even despite all of the challenges that we're facing and the things that are grabbing media attention, child poverty is so important for us to address because of the long-term impact and the long-term costs to us of addressing it. And the cost of addressing it now in terms of investing in services and infrastructure is a lot less than the long-term cost to the state of dealing with the outcomes for these young people.
So Michelle, in your view, what needs to be done to address the problem and protect these children?
Well, we need first an acknowledgement that we set ourselves targets at an EU level and at an Irish level and a national level, but we consistently fail to meet them. That number one, the priority should be to meet the targets we set ourselves. So the key is to invest in the services and infrastructure that children and families rely on. So that means appropriate income supports for children and families, investment in early childhood education and care, in healthcare services, in well-designed work-life balance policies, and ensuring that parents in employment have access to a decent wage, so a living wage, for example.
So there are also some research findings in relation to older people, the working poor, and those who are unemployed. Just tell us briefly a little bit about that.
Yeah, I suppose concerning about older people is there's over 15 million at risk of poverty, but the rate is higher for women than men. So that's concerning given that we're ageing and there's more women than men don't have access to pensions, particularly state pensions and state pension coverage. So that's really concerning. In terms of people who are employed, you have about 20 million people in the EU who have jobs but are living in poverty. They're mainly young people or people with lower levels of education, which ties into the child poverty thing, or often lone parent households. That's really concerning. And then finally, in terms of financial distress, I mean, we know financial distress means that you need to dip into your savings or that you run into debt to cover your current expenditure. So do things like buy food, pay your rent, pay your bills. It's been experienced most by the bottom 20%. So the poorest 25% of households experience it most. And they, a quarter of those households were experiencing financial distress in February of this year. So that, you know, that's really concerning too for us. And in terms then of unemployment, I mean, the unemployment rate is about 7%, long-term unemployment at 3%, but we still have 3 million young people under 25 who are unemployed. That's very concerning for us.
Right, so we leave it there for today. Unless, of course, anything else you would like to mention?
No, just for any of your listeners, Johnny, you can go on to socialjustice.ie and you can download the report there. There's a lot in it, obviously, but I think there's some very interesting findings as well for people just to have a read through.
Okay. Michelle, thanks again for joining us. Nice talking with you. All the very best. Do take care.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
You're welcome. Now, that was Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst for Social Justice Ireland. She was talking about how one-fifth of Europe's children are now living in poverty.